Turn to the scripture for just a moment here this morning, and I will not be preaching as I usually do, but I want you to look with me into the scriptures. I want to say something to those of you who are working in Fountain Square as well as all of us. In Isaiah 53, any of you like a Bible, please hold up your hands. The ushers will see that you get one. Isaiah 53. Verses 10, 11, and 12. Subject, why did Christ die? One of the answers we find here. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. Now turn with me, please, for just a moment to John, the Gospel according to John, for the reading from the Gospels, John chapter 19. This is in the middle of the trial, beginning in verse 8, Gospel according to John, chapter 19, verse 8. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "You refuse to speak to me," Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Now turn right on to Acts chapter 3 for just a moment. Acts chapter 3. Verse 11, the beggar had just been healed. Verse 12, when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you that he could heal that beggar? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go." And then going on down to verse 16, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Words that I'd like to call your attention to for just a few minutes right now are the words out of verse 13 there. You handed him over to be killed. You handed him over to be killed. Form of a question, why did Christ die? We need a good answer for that. Every person who belongs to Jesus Christ needs a good answer for that. Why did Christ die? And every one of the scriptures that I've read you this morning, with exception of the one from Isaiah, although that has it there, has answers to that question. He poured out his life unto death. And at least one of the Greek translations of that has the idea he handed over his life unto death. In John 19, Jesus said to Pilate, with reference to Judas, "The one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." And in Acts 3, Peter said to the Jews, "You handed him over to be killed." And Paul said to the Gentiles in another place, "He who did not spare his own son gave him over for us all." And in every one of those New Testament references, there's that one Greek word, he handed him over, or he was handed over. It's a very interesting Greek word, and it's one that ties all this scripture together. That's one answer to the question, why Jesus die? Because each one of these men handed him over. But still, we had the question, who killed him and why did they kill him? There are three answers, the people involved, the Roman soldiers and Pilate. John 19, verse 16, Pilate handed him over to the soldiers to be crucified. That same word is used there. And Pilate had tried to get out of it because he was persuaded Jesus was innocent. He shouldn't die. First, he sent him to Herod to try to get Herod to make the decision. And second, he tried to compromise, just have him whipped. Maybe they'll be satisfied if they just see a little bit of blood. And third, he tried to do the right thing for the wrong reason by setting him free by the choice of the people. Instead of Barabbas, it would be Jesus. And fourth, he tried to protect his own innocence by washing his own hands, I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. But none of those things worked. And in the end, Pilate handed him over to the soldiers to be crucified. So we say that Pilate caused Christ to die. But I want you to be careful about that, and I want to point to an application there before you begin. We find those same influences in our own lives. We leave the hard decisions to someone else. We try to avoid responsibility by getting a Herod to make our decisions for us, or someone else, so we don't have to face the facts. We dodge responsibility. We avoid it. Or we try to compromise with the crowd. We'll do something to please the other, something we know is really not right. Just to please, that's exactly what Pilate was doing there. Or we try to honor Jesus for the wrong reason. He's a tremendous teacher. Not because he's God and Savior, but because he's a teacher. Or we make a public statement of loyalty to him, but at the same time in our heart of hearts, we're not really supporting him. We're denying him. These are the kinds of things that cause you and me to hand Jesus over, to be crucified. So let's be careful about pointing our finger back through the years at Pilate, because we find these same things in our own lives. But then the Jewish people and the priests, they caused Jesus to die. That's what Peter was saying there in Acts 3. Men of Israel, you leaders in Israel, you handed Jesus over to be crucified. Even though Pilate was determined to let him go. You were the ones that kept insisting, and you were the ones that changed Pilate's mind on that finally. In one sense, they had all kinds of scriptural reasons for not liking Jesus and for wanting him to be killed. He posed as a rabbi. People kept calling him rabbi, but he hadn't been to rabbi school. He didn't have any rabbi diploma. And he fraternized with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the publicans. And he healed people on their Sabbath. And he criticized the Pharisees for holding their traditions above the scriptures. And he even called them names. He called them hypocrites. And he said they were like whited sepulchres, all looking nice on the outside, but inside they were all rotten. But the worst thing of all was that he was undermining their authority. More people were listening to Jesus than were listening to them. And all this was building up a colossal case of envy. Pilate, according to the Gospel of Luke, Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him over to them. Gospel according to Mark says that. And envy is always the outward manifestation of pride. There never was an envious man who wasn't proud. And they were proud of their nation's position. They were proud of their own leadership. They were proud of their authority. And Jesus was challenging their authority. Remember how often they said to him, by what authority do you say this? By what authority do you do this? They were challenged. And they felt that he was challenging them. And he was a threat to them, and they were envious of him, and therefore they wanted to kill him. And Herod had tried to kill him when he was born. And now the priests were trying to kill him and did bring about that execution at the end of his life. And yet, again, we need to be careful about pointing our fingers back through the years at them and not finding some of those same things in our own lives. Because we resent it when Jesus begins to invade our privacy. His lordship in our lives gives us the same uncomfortable feeling. It's a threat. I want to do things the way I want to do things, and he moves into my life and says, you don't do things the way you want to do them, you do them the way I want to do them. Are the things I want for you more important than the things you want for yourself? Why doesn't he just leave me alone? He wants me to obey. If he's right on this particular subject, whatever it is, then I'm wrong. And it very quickly comes to the place where we say precisely what they say. You know, I'd rather see him dead than admit that I'm wrong. And really, all rebellion, all our resistance to his lordship can boil right back down to that particular point. That's why Jesus died. Third answer to that question, why he died, is to be found in Judas Iscariot. Pilate and the Roman soldiers handed him over. The Jews and the priests handed him over. Judas Iscariot said to the chief priests, what will you give me if I hand him over to you? And they said, less than a year's wages, 30 pieces of silver. So Judas was involved there, and we can excuse him. Somebody had to do it. I mean, if Jesus had to die on the cross, somebody had to do it. It was predestinated that he would be the one to do it. We could try to excuse it, and yet, how many people do you know who have a price? There is some price. They can be bought for some price. They can be bribed for some price. Jesus had said, you know, you can't serve God and mammon, money. And Judas got the point, and he said, okay, there's a price, and I'll take the money. And that's true for people today. And still, the haunting refrain of that old song, that old spiritual, keeps coming back. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? You know that. You know how it goes. Were you there? Was I there when they crucified my Lord? The answer is yes. Yes, I was there. And so were you. 'Twas I who shed that sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Son of God. I joined the mockery. Of all that shouting multitude, I feel that I am one. And in that din of voices rude, I recognize my own. Around the cross, the throng I see, mocking the sufferer's groan. Yet still my voice, it seems to me, as if I'm mocked alone. We can trace the blame for Jesus' death from Judas. Judas handed Jesus over to the priests for 30 pieces of silver. The priests handed Jesus over to Pilate for envy. Pilate handed Jesus over to the soldiers to nail to the cross because of his own ambition and fear. And yet that same kind of pride and envy and ambition and rebellion is right within us. But there's one other. There's one other reason why Jesus died, and I've saved it to the last. Jesus himself said it this way, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He hands over his life for his sheep. No one takes it from me. I hand it over myself of my own accord. And then the apostle described it this way in Galatians 2:20. The Son of God loved me and handed himself over for me. And we're talking about the same Greek word all the way through there. So it is not just Judas who handed Jesus over for money, and it's not just Pilate who handed Jesus over for fear, and it's not just the Jews who handed him over for envy, but it was Jesus and the Father who handed him over for love. Just as Peter said it there in Acts, the second chapter, as we face his cross, he and the Father handed him over. Peter said it this way, men of Israel, this Jesus of Nazareth was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of the wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God has raised him up. So there's a two-way thing here. You did it, but the Father and the Son himself, handed himself over. It was both by God's perfect plan, and it was by our sin that he is handed over to be crucified. There's one other meaning for that word, paradidomi, that Greek word. Paul uses it that way in Galatians 2:20. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He turned himself over. He handed himself over for me. So who handed Jesus over to die? Not just Judas for money, and not just Pilate for ambition and fear, and not just the Jews for envy, but the Father for love. And really, that's true for every one of you who are working down there in Fountain Square. And for others also in their ministry and witness. Your physical fathers and mothers have handed you over in a very special way, to be the witness of Jesus Christ in this city. And for every one of us, that same thing can be true. And we can understand that. Just as Jesus Christ was handed over to be the witness of the Father, so now we are handed over to be the witness of Christ in the world in which we live. That comes directly out of Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over, there's our same word, gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Would you commit or recommit yourself this morning to handing yourself over? To the same purpose for which Christ, the Father, handed Christ over and Christ handed himself over. Let's bow our hearts. Father in heaven, thank you for that love which could cause you to hand over your only begotten Son for us. God, we scarce can understand, scarce can take it in, what all was involved in your handing over your only begotten Son, that things might be made right between yourself and ourselves. Father, hear the prayer of any person here this morning who's still not sure of that. hear them as from within the silence of his or her own heart. They would pray something like this: Father, I'm not sure that things are right between yourself and myself, the way that man up there is talking about it right now. But I want to be sure of that. As best I know how, I ask that you forgive me for the things that are wrong between yourself and myself. I hereby trust in what you did for me on that cross to make everything right. Father, I don't understand what all that was that your son was doing there on that cross. But whatever it was that he was doing on that cross, I trust in that to make things right between yourself and myself. Come into my heart. Just do with me whatever you want from here on. Be my Savior and my Lord. Now, Lord, use me. Send me as you sent your only begotten Son. Hand me over that I might be your light in that Fountain Square community and throughout the city, in our homes, and in the nation, and throughout the world. Would you please use us to be your light? And we'll spend eternity in heaven thanking you for thus handing us over to be your light. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Closing, I'd like to ask that we would turn to the Dean. C in closing this morning. And we'll sing the first three stanzas. That's good. The first three stanzas, and then pause for the benediction and sing the 12th stanza. We'll sing 9, 10, 11, and then pause for the benediction and sing together from the 12th stanza afterwards. Let's rise to sing. Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.